Well, today we're going to continue in our study in Galatians, and we're on day 13 today, and we're going to be in Galatians 4. I've titled this lesson, Quit Refastening Your Own Chains. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 8 through 11. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Formerly, the Gentile people in Galatia worshipped all kinds of gods who were not God. When Paul came and taught the Gentiles about the one true God, they believed Paul and followed Christ. Also, when Paul came, many Jews believed in the Messiah and were saved to follow Christ. However, it appears that in Paul's absence, that has changed. Part of that change is as a result of the Judaizers coming in and telling them that they must be circumcised to be saved. The Judaizers were also insisting that those festivals and holidays must still be followed, as if they were required by God, or as if they could earn favor or brownie points with God. And part of that was also the nature of the Gentile people in Galatia, going back to what they had always done, worship the Greco-Roman pantheon of gods. Paul is very critical of the Galatian believers here, even wondering aloud if all that he has taught them has been for naught, as they return to their legalistic practices to earn their salvation through their works. The Galatian church is in a very real danger of losing the prize they sought, eternal life, as they return to a works-based salvation. They have already been shown that they have justification through Christ alone. Why would they exchange that now for attempted justification by their own works? Suppose that as a child, when you asked your father to spell out for you your whole name, including your middle name, so you could memorize it, that your father spelled your middle name wrong. You spend time memorizing the spelling of your name until you know it by heart. Then one day, your kind-hearted, sweet first-grade teacher, Mrs. Johnson, is conducting assessments on her students, and when it is your turn and she asks you to spell your whole name, you proudly do so, only to find out that, actually, you've been spelling your middle name wrong. There's an E that you've been adding, based off of the information of your father, that isn't actually in your middle name. Well, you'll be embarrassed, but more than that, you are now faced with the task of unlearning the incorrect spelling of your name and relearning the correct spelling. Not that I would know from experience or anything. Years later, you still have to pause when writing out your entire name to make sure that you spell it correctly. Or consider perhaps a woman who has been married for 2 years who has easily made a habit out of writing her new last name when she signs forms, suddenly finds one day when she's tired that she signed a document with her maiden name instead of her married name. Again, not that I know anything about that either. What's the point I'm making? The point is this. When you start off with wrong information, as the Gentiles did, and truly as the Jewish converts did. Remember, they were waiting for a military Messiah. They were legalistically trying to keep the law and were acting based on false premises. Once you get the right information, it is so hard to keep it all straight. You have to unlearn the incorrect and relearn the correct, and yet those ingrained old habits are there. And you never know when you'll find yourself falling back into those habits without thinking about them. That's the point that Paul is trying to make here, I believe. Becoming a believer is absolutely the free gift of God, no question. However, it does bring with it serious responsibility for the believer. We are called to be set apart, to put off our old self and put on Christ. This is not a passive process, but an active one, and one that we must constantly be careful of, lest we fall back into those old patterns. And we'll be more likely to fall back into those old patterns when we are not spending time with God. The drug addict who returns to the same old friends after being in rehab, it won't be long before they're back to doing drugs. Just like that drug addict, we must remember that we are new creations, and we must be constantly on alert, if you will, to take captive our thoughts, and to do everything for His glory, not our own. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, "Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, think about these things. I love that Paul gives sound counsel as he comforts that church in Philippi. See, Paul knew that what you put into your brain, just as what you put into your body, is what comes out of you. Feed your body junk, you're going to feel cruddy, right? Feed your brain junk, anything that contradicts or does not agree with the Bible, and you won't know the truth when you see it, and you'll anesthetize yourself to what Scripture truly says. So Paul offers hope to these people in Philippi, reminding them to pray and to give praise to God, even in the midst of great persecution. And then Paul warns them to guard their minds. Ladies, we choose every day what we are going to worship. Is it TV, popular culture, music, food, fashion, money, safety, your children, your spouse? Anything that comes between you and God, anything that you are more focused on than God, anything that you seek above God is an idol. And anything can be an idol. My idols are different than yours, which is why we have to be careful to make sure we are spending time in the Word daily and refocusing ourselves on Him. I admit one of my idols is peace and calm. There are times when I snap at my children and spouse simply because my idol or my treasure at that moment was sitting on the couch, ignoring everyone around me. When it comes down to it, though, is my veg time being interrupted any reason for me to yell at my child who needs help? No. But instead of serving my son with a cheerful heart, he gets snapped at because at that moment, my treasure was being on the couch. It's not a pretty picture. The picture of the Gentile converts in Galatia is an especially hard one to look at. These people of Galatia, these Gentiles from outside the law, have been brought in by God to the inheritance promised to Abraham. How cruel is that? God opened the door for them, showed them the light, opened their eyes to the inheritance. He knew them well before they knew of Him. God drew them to Him, showed them His love through Christ, and views them with more than approval through Christ's blood, but with delight. He took special care of these people, and what's happened? Are they grateful? Do they understand that it was God who saw them, way before they even looked for Him? Do they see that the only reason they love Him is, as 1 John 4:19 tells us, because He first loved them? Do they recognize what they've been given? Sure doesn't look that way. They're returning to worshiping idols made of stone and celebrating those dead gods. They are relying on those special days and observances to save them, instead of remembering that the only way they can be saved is through Christ's blood. Period. Now, I want to be sure and say this because this seems to be an issue still to this day. It is not sinful to observe special days. Romans 14 talks in much more depth about special days and how we should view them, but what we need to realize is that there will be matters like these where we can agree to disagree, and we must not violate our own consciences and the leading of the Holy Spirit. However, when we count on those celebrations or special days to save us or to give us something that we want, we're fooling ourselves. Think about how many people you know who are Christmas and Easter believers. That is, they come to church twice a year, and voila, they think that that's enough, right? Did you know that this has become so common that there's actually a term to describe these people? Well, these people come on the important days. They should be covered, right? Wrong. Showing up twice a year for church is just as hypocritical as those who show up every Sunday for church, but live the rest of the week just like the world. Ladies, if your heart is truly His, if you've truly given yourself to Him, there will be a difference in how you act. The Holy Spirit is within you now, and there will be things that you've never even thought twice about before that you can have no part in now. What you were once enslaved to, what you once worshipped, no longer has the same hold on you. It may be a TV show you used to love, but you now see that it is poisoning your heart and mind. It may be music you used to listen to, friends you used to be very close with, whom you now see only occasionally. These are just a few of the ways that we will be set apart when we become followers of Christ. So, it is important to consider why you celebrate what you celebrate. Is it because it's just what we do? Ultimately, instead of just going along with the traditions you have accepted, you need to consider what those traditions are and what impact they have. It might end up with you saying, well, this is neutral, and you decide to continue celebrating it. You may end up saying, wow, I didn't realize how much this actually points to God, and you'll find new ways to celebrate a day. Or you may end up seeing the ways that what you celebrate actually pulls you away from God, distracts from Him, and is dishonoring to Him, and you may choose to end that tradition. Ultimately, whatever we need to do unto the Lord, not just going along with the crowd. Every day should be a day of worship and praise and thankfulness to Him, even in the mundaneness of changing diapers and wiping noses. My question for us today is this. What habits or patterns that were part of who you were before Christ came into your life have you fallen back into? Are those habits harmful or helpful? If they're harmful, do you know you need to repent and call out to God to help you not to be enslaved to that habit anymore? What areas in your life are you being diligent in assuring that you don't fall back into sinful patterns? What areas in your life do you need to be more diligent in? Take these issues to God. Ask Him to help you to be diligent and to remain focused on Him first and foremost, today and every day. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, Day 3, Quit Refastening Your Own Chains.